Good morning. It's a Thursday morning, and we're talking with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, here's a major story. Kinder Morgan has suspended plans for the pipeline to run across portions of eastern New York and western New England. It was a $3 billion project, and they have suspended it, and there certainly has been grassroots efforts to stop this.
That's right. Just look at it this way, David. Who wants a pipeline in your backyard? There's always the possibility of sabotage, of leaks, natural leaks. There's always the question of what will it look like? It'll be disgusting. So you don't want it. Now then you come to the idea of what is the purpose of the pipeline? Is it to bring energy to people, or is it to bring energy to people somewhere else that you have nothing to do with? Well, those are all the questions that have been raised in a really rather spontaneous and organized effort to say no to this. Now, there will be people who will say, well, you know, those are going to cost us construction jobs and other things, and I am sure that there will be political leaders, let's just put it that way, who argue the merits of having this kind of project. There are those political leaders, for example, who will make any argument for any job in upstate New York because they know they're in big trouble. You know, David, I've been thinking about that a lot. You see Andrew Cuomo running for governor the last time out and being opposed by Zephyr Teachout. And you would think with his big war chest and everything else, well, you know, he did terribly in upstate New York. And I think the guy's frustrated. I don't think he knows what to do because the jobs and the energy and the money is all coming from the big city, which is pretty interesting. I was talking to the great group in Plattsburgh at the Rotary yesterday, and there was a question as to what it is about, quote, upstate that is such an anathema to the organized interest. For example, you know, Bernie did really well in upstate New York, with the possible exception of Buffalo. He did extraordinarily well. So if you're a governor or if you're people who are looking at this situation, you keep trying to figure out what is it I can do to stimulate things up there. But no matter what it is, it hasn't seemed to work.
Let's talk about the New York primaries, Alan. Yeah. And the Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, has opened an inquiry. His office has received more than 1,000 complaints from voters across the state, dwarfing the roughly 150 reports received for the 2012 general elections. Many people said they had tried to vote, only to be told that they were not registered. Among complaints from New York City, the largest chunk from Brooklyn.
Hey, I'm really glad that Schneiderman, the Attorney General, is organizing this, because the perception of a democracy is so important. I'm interested in how they decide, they in quotes, who's going to get a ballot and who is not. Is it that, for example, that, you know, the implication seems to be that one side thinks that the other side is more like, in a particular voting area, is more likely to vote for one candidate or another? You've noticed I haven't said the words Bernie or Hillary, but it would take an awful lot of organization. And if it's true, it wouldn't take much to figure it out, because somebody's going to get asked the question, why did you not give this person a ballot? But in any case, it's a very contentious election. We've seen that. We have seen the Sanders forces, for example, when they call Vox Pop, pretty angry. You know, I voted for Bernie Sanders. Nevertheless, I was unprepared for the kind of vitriol which was coming from some of the Sanders supporters. And if the perception is that you're being screwed by the election authorities, you better believe that you're going to pick up that phone and make a call, even if it turns out to be not so true. So I'm glad that the Attorney General is doing what he's doing.
Donald Trump sat down with the New York Times yesterday, and as they put in their headline, revealing a bit of his softer side, a strategic move.
Whoever is running the Trump campaign is now back on the old political track of trying to make it more acceptable to more people. The problem, of course, is that Trump gained his reputation as an iconoclast, as somebody who would say anything to anybody. And now they're acting like, you know, politicians. It was a sympathetic interview. I read it in the Times. He had his oldest son there. He had his new campaign manager. The old guard seems to be losing power, and it seems to be same old, when it comes to how you win an election.